will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living God. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen the sweetest of love. My heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. And you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, and feel the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. Be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come blood and feel the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, God. We honor you for your goodness, God. Blessed be your precious name, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While you're on your feet, going to give the opportunity to greet one another. Shake their hand, tell them you're happy to see them here in the house of the Lord. And be usher at the back with the offering plate if you'd like to give. God bless you for being here. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. I do want to take a few knees of the Lord of prayer. Before we do so, I want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. Again, a week from this Sunday is Easter, and so we need each family, if they would, to bring a bag of individually wrapped candy. That way we can have a good time for the kids on Easter after the service. We're going to have a candy rain. It's going to rain from the top of the bell tower some candy. And so it's going to be a good time, a little bit of twist on the Easter egg hunt, if you will. And just going to have a good time together. So we need each family to bring a bag of individually wrapped candy prior to that service so that we can get it ready to go. And then on that service that, again, it's a week from this Sunday, we will have just a one service format. We won't do the two service. We won't have Sunday school and then evangelistic service. We will have one service for our Easter Sunday morning service. No PM activity on Easter Sunday night. But this coming Sunday, regularly scheduled services, we have the Financial Peace University at 6 o'clock studying. So we encourage you to come and be a part of that. And then on Monday night here at the church, we're going to have a minister's fellowship. This is for our section, for the ministers in our section. And so my wife has got some ladies to help her and decorating, getting the food ready. And so if she asks assistance of you, please be willing to help her so that we can make it happen, represent this church well to the ministry of our section. They have asked us to host it. We have gratefully accepted, and so we're looking forward to that time together on Monday night. And so this weekend, I'm sure I'll be up here on Saturday doing some last. We got some, obviously, some stuff still going on in the baptistry area. The stone wall is completed behind there. You can't see it right now because it's still, you know, we still got work to do, painting and other stuff. So the reveal's not going to happen yet. But maybe by Sunday morning, it'll look a lot better. It's going to take some time yet. We got to recoat the baptistry and some other stuff. So it's not all going to be completed by the weekend, but, what you'll be able to see from out here, hopefully will, and, it will look a lot better. So again, thank you to all those that helped us last week in our work week coming together, cleaning. You come into church and you get a nice, you know, scent of fresh paint and some cleaning solution and all that, you know, that lovely mixture. That means there's work going on. I want to say a special thank you to Brother Tom. He's up in youth class. He's already started stripping and re-waxing the floor downstairs, and it looks good. Half of it's already done. It's looking really good. And so other people just been here throughout the week doing things, and so thank you so much for all of your time and effort in helping us make it the best that it can be. So thank you very much for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, before we do so, one other announcement. It's coming Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Ladies, there is a fellowship at Sister Angie Duell's house. And if you would like to go, please see her Sister Day so they can get an accurate head count and know how many to prepare for. Again, that's happening this Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And then if you would like to go and help the church in DeKalb celebrate their anniversary, they are having anniversary services on Saturday the 24th. And I believe they start at 6 o'clock in the evening. And so you can go and be a part of that if you would like to do so. I told them that we would certainly promote it. They asked us to get a group together to sing, but I just told them with everything that we had going on, we've got the youth are going to a pre-IYC rally on Friday night, and then got the ladies on Saturday morning. I just couldn't get enough participation, so I had to beg off that. If you have opportunity to go and support that, we would certainly encourage you to do that. Let's take some knees of the Lord in prayer. I ask you to still remember Brother Spann had the oral surgery with the tooth situation, so still a lot of pain and discomfort concerning that. So let's remember him in prayer. Anybody else have a prayer request you'd like to bring to the group? Why don't you slip up your hand and we'll call upon you, Sister Darling. All right. Let's pray for that situation, Sister D. Certainly. Certainly remember. Okay. All right, certainly. So anybody else? Yes, Sister Andrew. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yes, very good. That is wonderful. Why don't you stand? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that we can come to you, God, with every need, every care and concern of our life, God, knowing that you are able to help. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, for you are such a good God. You help us in so many different ways, God, and we consider it an honor to worship you, to praise you, God, to bring these needs before you in prayer, whether it's healing of the body, God. And we know that you're the great physician. You're able to heal, God. Help us to be ministers of your choosing, to stretch forth our hands, God, to heal in your power and your authority, God, to see your work performed in lives, God, whether it be for a job situation, Lord, for those seeking the baptism of your spirit, God. I pray, God, Lord, it is a gift, and you give, Lord. And we thank you that we can come to you in faith, believing and receive from you, God. You are so good. Lord, you are so wonderful. We love you, God. We praise you. We honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, God. We thank you that we can call upon you, God, in a time of need and help, God. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. We thank you, God, for all that you are and all that you do. Jesus, in your precious name, in the name of Jesus, why don't you applaud the Lord for his goodness? Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are continuing in our study, what I've entitled Faith, Reason, and Truth. 2 weeks ago, when we launched out into this study, we talked about how science and the Bible are compatible. How that even in our day in modern science, as it seeks to twist and change things concerning what we know to be objective truths concerning the Word of God, we explain how that we can see, as we involve science and the Bible, and we can see that there is compatibility. And we talked about human reasoning as opposed to spiritual reasoning. We talked about how that we start with an objective truth, being that God is the origin. And then we go from there. I'm not trying to go back and rehash all of that. But just to kind of give you an idea as to what this has sprung from and why we're studying along these lines. Because as individuals who are believers, who believe in God, in His existence, in His involvement in our lives, and that He does hold the whole world in His hands, and that He created everything that we see, we live in a world that is becoming increasingly adverse against the idea of God. It is a humanistic society that it is becoming, essentially, and even our education system is promoting ideas that we know are anti-biblical. They are not in accordance with the Word of God. We understand this to be the root of many of the problems, the ills of society today, because we have gone from what the objective truths of the Bible are, and we have stated that those things are up for your opinion, that those things are based upon our intellect or our discussion or the way we see things. But we know and we believe as believers that that is not the case, that the Bible is an objective truth. That it doesn't matter our race, doesn't matter our religion, doesn't matter our culture, it doesn't matter our opinions, our ideas, it doesn't matter our experiences. None of those things compare to what objective truth is. It is an absolute. It's not conditional upon any of those things. The Bible is forever settled, and we believe that. And so we're going to look at a little bit more tonight, and I've subtitled this Faith, Reason, and Truth, Even His Eternal Power and Godhead. Even His Eternal Power and Godhead. If we look at a passage of Scripture, it's found in Romans 1:20. It says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." In summary, what this Scripture is telling us is that we can understand, we can know, we can observe, if you will, invisible things by looking at visible things. We can understand, the Bible says, even His eternal power in Godhead. We can understand about God through what He has created. We can understand more of Him by interacting and looking at what He has created. And see, understanding, when we come from that basis, as a believer, when we come from the basis of objective truth, that it originates with God, then we can, and it's not reverse engineering, but it's the understanding that it is the origin, that He is the origin of all things. And so we can see all things, interact with all things, and all things, if you will, can lead us to Him and a greater knowledge and understanding of Him. Amen? So we're going to show that in accordance with the Word of God. But I want to look, when we talk about the Godhead, when we talk about understanding the Godhead, I want to point us towards Philippians 2, 5 through 8. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God," everybody say form of God, "thought it not robbery to be equal with God," everybody say equal with God, "but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Everybody say likeness of men. Form of God, likeness of men. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Here the Apostle Paul is writing the church at Philippi, the Philippians, and he is explaining unto them, giving them some more insight and revelation concerning what we would term the mighty God in Christ. Understanding of the Godhead. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God," who being in the form of God, rather, "thought it not robbery to be equal with God." So he's asserting that Jesus is in the form of God. Hebrews tells us that he is the express image of his person. So the Apostle Paul is bringing revelation to the church at Philippi concerning the Godhead, concerning just who Jesus is. That he was form of God, but he was also in the likeness of man. We might say it this way. He was fully God and fully man. Now, on the surface of our thinking, that doesn't we can't equate that. We can't really understand that Jesus was fully God and fully man. But the scriptures assert and reveal that that is in fact the case. That he was a man, but he was also God. And so for us to understand that, the Apostle Paul says we can look at creation. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So we can understand who Jesus is by looking or observing creation. So can we not also say that if there are some objective truths that are observable in creation, think about it. In other words, these truths are observable. They are proved to be true. You can see them. You can understand them. They are not dependent upon your opinion or how you feel. They are objective. They are absolute. Can we then take these objective truths? Can we then take these, if you will, facts concerning science and see how they parallel with even his eternal power and Godhead? Well, hopefully. Stay with me. A complete elucidation of one and the same object may require diverse points of view which defy a unique description. Everybody say that's Greek to me. Read it again. A complete elucidation, or revelation we might say, of one and the same object may require diverse points of view which defy a unique description. In other words, can I maybe paraphrase it or summarize it? When observing from different angles, if you will, one and the self same object may defy unique description. In other words, when looked at from this perspective, it may look this way. And when looked at from this perspective, it may look this way. But it is one and the self-same object. It may look different depending on the perspective, but it doesn't change what it is. It may defy a unique description because it seemingly is different. But it is, in fact, the same. Stay with me. I know, preparation last night, I was talking to my wife, and I said, honey, and I began to read some of this to her, and her, you know, she began to nod off. And I said, I'm still compiling it all together. I'm not very smart, but I read a lot of books from really smart people. I got my corduroy jacket on tonight. If I had a pocket protector and some glasses with tape on them, I might could fit the bill. All those physicists, I'm sorry if you're hearing this. Just stay with me. We're going to get somewhere. And I hope that as a result of this, we can understand that even the creation, even what is observable as an objective truth in science will help us understand the Godhead. Think that can happen? All right. Some of you are not so sure. His eternal power and Godhead. Is there any doubt that the Bible is monotheistic in relation to the Godhead? In other words, is there any doubt, if you read the Bible, is there any doubt that the Bible presents a monotheistic view of God? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Deuteronomy 6:4. As you read the Bible, is there any doubt? It's a fair question.
Is there any doubt that through the Bible, the view of the Godhead is monotheist?
Y'all act like we ain't oneness.
We believe that the Bible reveals all through Scripture that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. So we believe that. It's not a trick question. I think I'm setting you up. Not. I don't think anybody with a rational mind that would read the Scriptures and come away with a pluralistic understanding of deity is not there. Anyone want to take a shot at using creation to explain the Godhead? Anybody? The opportunity. You have the mic. You can just use anything in creation to explain the existence of the Godhead. Brother Al. Okay, that's what we believe in, but use something in creation to explain that. The question is, what can we use in creation to identify the Godhead, to explain the Godhead? Sorry? Verse 1. Okay? Use something in creation to explain the Godhead. All right, hey, look, stay with me. How many have seen an object lesson used in an attempt to explain the Godhead? Yeah? What have you seen? Ah, water. Very good example. Different forms. Frozen as ice. But as you melt it, it turns to water. And if you continue to heat it, it turns to steam. Three different forms, but this chemical composition is still H2O. Yeah? Or the egg. Shell, the egg white, the yolk, all the same. It's still an egg. Now you see where I'm going. You think, why do you all the time think I'm trying to set you up? I'm not trying to make you look silly. I'm trying to help us further understand. We've seen these object lessons, and they're good object lessons, and I'm not in any way, shape, or form taking from those things. They do help us understand. Great example is the water. It's in different forms, but it's still H2O. Its chemical composition does not change. Right? Anybody know what quantum theory is? Oh, now, it's going to start getting rough in here. Like, oh, I thought I came to Bible class. I didn't know I came to physics class. I'm not a professor. I do not have any of those degrees behind my name. I'm sorry? Is it about motion? Yeah, maybe. You want me just to show you? Yeah? The next slide has the answer. Do you just want me to forward to the next slide? What quantum theory is? Or quantum physics? Or quantum mechanics? Anybody know what quantum means? Anybody know that there was a show years ago called Quantum Leap? Oh, you know that. See how spiritual you are. We know in relation to a TV show that there's a TV show called Quantum Leap. As to what quantum means, we don't know. So what quantum theory is, I don't know. Nope. Quantum theory. Quantum theory is the theoretical basis of modern physics that explains the nature and behavior of matter and energy on the atomic and subatomic level. The nature and behavior of matter and energy at that level is sometimes referred to as quantum physics and quantum mechanics. Thank you, Pastor Wells, for that robust explanation as to what quantum theory is. Always wondered. Has nothing to do with corduroy, although it has some of the same letters. Glad I wore this jacket tonight. My wife's not glad that I wore this jacket tonight, but I'm glad that I wore this jacket tonight. Exactly. Exactly. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about early science, okay? We kind of know, don't really know what quantum theory is, but it has something to do with atomic and subatomic particles and matter and energy and the way they interact and the study of these things. And it's for real nerdy people that know all those different mathematical formulations that have more letters than numbers. You know what I'm talking about? That sort of stuff. That's part of it. Theory of relativity has to do with quantum physics or quantum science, quantum theory. It's basically dealing with the quantities of matter and energy as it pertains to atomic and subatomic particles. It's the study of matter and energy on a very microscopic level, going all the way down to, I remember years ago they thought the atom was the fundamental building block, and then they found out there were other things that made up an atom, and now there's subatomic things, and there's all these other things in science, and the more they study, the more they find, and it just goes deeper and deeper. And deeper? All right. Early science. Until the late 19th century, science was certain about the fixed and separate identities of particles and waves. Stay with me. It's going to get boring for a couple seconds. But if you stay with me, I promise it will become interesting. Okay? Trust me? Believe me? All right. Early science. Late 19th century. Everything about the universe was thought to exist as it relates to matter and energy was thought to exist in particles and waves. The whole universe was thought to hinge upon the belief that a particle was a particle and a wave was a wave. That's how the universe was constructed. A particle was a particle and a wave was a wave. Right? All right. Can you attest to that? No, you can't, but I'll move on. Matter and energy, think of it this way. Matter and energy were either a pebble, a definite area, definitive space, as a particle, or as a ripple. Throw the pebble into a pond, it creates a ripple or waves, and so matter and energy were thought to exist only as either a fixed, separate, and distinct, either a particle or a wave. Scientists were absolutely certain. Matter of fact, there was a scientist, I forget his name, but he was, and during his time, he was more renowned than the late Stephen Hawking. And this guy said, now that we've figured this out, there's nothing left to do in physics but measure. Now that we know everything exists in either a particle or a wave, then all we need to do is figure out how to measure it. That's what he thought. That's what all scientists thought. They all believed. And never the twain shall meet. It's either a particle or it's a wave. All matter and all energy is going to exist as either a particle or a wave. That's it. It's creation. Now they didn't think of it as creation, but in the universe, the world as a whole, hinged upon a particle or a wave. All matter and all energy, particle. And there was this. Then in 1905, a 26-year-old newcomer to the world of professional science, a man you might have heard of, Albert Einstein, makes an assertion that would eventually earn him a Nobel Prize in physics. All these years, scientists up until the time of Albert Einstein, he began to study some earlier experiments, and he, this young professional scientist that comes on the scene and just kind of overtakes the world of physics. He makes this assertion. And this is what he says. What Einstein explained was this. Light waves don't always behave like waves. Sometimes they behave like particles. And the scientist went, absolutely not. No way. Can't happen. There is different. They're antithetical is the big $5 word that exists in the industry or in science. Can't happen. Dichotomy. They oppose one another. It can't be. And Einstein says, no, I'm telling you that sometimes light acts as a particle and sometimes light acts as a wave. This became an observable, objective truth. two decades later, he is awarded the Nobel Prize in Physics for his study, which did include the theory of relativity. Because Einstein makes the assertion that everything they had thought up until that point, that everything, matter and energy, all exist in either a particle or a wave, and Einstein comes and says, uh-uh, I can prove it. I can present to you an objective truth. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what all science has thought up to this point. It doesn't matter that great minds up until this point have asserted that all the universe hinges upon it being either a particle or a wave. I'm telling you, and I can prove it to you, that light sometimes acts as a particle and sometimes it acts as a wave. The collective mind of scientists was blown. No way. Not proved it, made it observable. Through numerous experiments, he was able to prove his assertion was correct. Light sometimes acts like a particle, and sometimes it acts like a wave. Now, stay with me. How many of you, your eyes have glazed over, and you wish it was 7:59 p.m.? That right there is an objective truth. Time is relative to my sitting upon this church pew. Some of y'all will get that. Now here's modern science. We live in a world where in certain circumstances, they have come to show this. It's now an observable truth. It's now accepted through all of science. They don't give people a Nobel Prize for an assertion. It has to be proven. And it has to be proven again and again and again. It has to be observable. It has to be measurable. That's the scientific method. And it has to be repeatable. Look it up. He does it. He shows it. They award him the Nobel Prize in Physics because Einstein proves that sometimes light acts like a wave, and sometimes light acts like a particle. What science appears to have discovered is that a light ray and an electron, here it is, are each fully a wave and fully a particle. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Science presents an objective truth. It's observable, it's measurable, it's repeatable. Experiment after experiment verifies that a light ray and an electron can act both as a wave and as a particle. And they're not half and half. They're not half a wave and half a particle. They are fully a wave and fully a particle. See, some of you know where I'm going now. Look at Colossians 2, 8 through 10. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the what? In him dwelleth all the what? The fullness of the Godhead bodily. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. So, Pastor, you're telling me that Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man. How can that be? Well, I can tell you this. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. And science, as an objective truth, has proved that a light ray and an electron, while thought to be separate and distinct, they have found out that they can be both fully a particle and fully a wave. Get it? Well, explain that quantum theory to me. Can't. Explain actually how that works. I can only show you explain to me exactly how he can be fully God and fully man. There are some things that stay with me. I don't know all the ins and outs. I can't explain everything about it. But what I can show you is that I believe the Word of God is also an objective truth. And the Word of God reveals unto you and I that Jesus was both fully God and fully man. Here's the revelation. God is spirit, infinite in space, time, knowledge, power, and is unchanging. Believe that? Believe that God is those things? That he is infinite in space? He's omnipresent, everywhere present at all times? Believe that? Can you prove that? Do we hold it as an objective truth according to the Word of God? Yes, we do. We believe that God is a spirit. The Bible tells us God is a spirit. Do we believe that we can see God? Why are you scared to answer that one? The Bible says no man has seen God at any time, neither can he. I got Bible. No, you can't see God. Infinite in space, time, knowledge, power, and is unchanging. Jesus was human, finite in space. He was finite in time. As a man, he had a beginning. Guess what? All right. Quick question. Close your eyes so you're not looking around at other people because I don't want you to make this choice based upon what other people do. All right? Ready to play this game with me? If I make this statement and you believe that it is a correct statement, I want you to raise your hand. Okay? It's one that you will hear in the religious community. If I say Mary was the mother of God, is that a true statement? Believe that's a true statement, raise your hand. Y'all waffling. Hey, hands go up, go down, side to side, peeking out one eye. You believe that Mary was the mother of God? Don't let me bashful. Raise that hand high if that's what you believe. All right. Put your hand down and open your eyes so you don't know that you voted incorrectly. Let me ask you this. Here's another question. Close your eyes. Ready? Did God die on the cross? You believe God died on the cross? Raise your hand. A little better. In reference to the first question, how can Mary be the mother of something that came before her? Mary was the mother of Jesus. But the Spirit inside of Jesus, God Almighty, came before Mary. Therefore, Mary could not be the mother of God. Yeah. Say it with me. Let me just say this. Let me just put this out here. This is not to in any way demean us. There's a lot of people that consider themselves either oneness or Trinitarian that do not know really what they believe. I have heard some of the greatest oneness teaching done by a Trinitarian. And I have heard some oneness preachers that verge on the basis of distinction and separation that should not be there. Particle and a wave. But light, when it is acting as a wave, is still a particle. Light, when it is acting as a particle, is also still a wave. Jesus was human, finite in space, time, knowledge, power, and he was always changing. The Bible says, learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. He grew. The Bible says. He was always changing. So on one hand, you have God, who is infinite in time, space, knowledge, and power. Jesus himself said, there are certain things I don't know. Read it. Certain knowledge is only reserved for the Father. Man, Pastor, I thought I had this stuff down. I thought I knew.
Well, if Jesus was God, why did he pray?
Because he was a man.
Well, if he was a man, then how was he God?
Well, only God can forgive sins.
Yeah.
He was fully God and fully man. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. As he walked as a man, he was finite in space. He was there. If they had GPS back then and Jesus had a smartphone, it would get his location. He was finite in space as a man.
Stay with me. We're going to have fun.
But just as science revealed that a light ray, an electron, can be fully a wave and fully a particle, so too can we understand the Godhead. As a fully man, or as a full man, I should say, not a, as fully man, Jesus wept, struggled with his own will. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not thy will, but not my will, but thine be done. So you're saying if Jesus had a separate will? Yes, I am, because he was a man. That's why he could say, if it were possible, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, possession, but thine be done. As a man, he prayed. As a man, he wept. As a man, he struggled with his own will. As a man, he needed to rest. As a man, he got weary. As a man, there was physical limitations. As a man, he couldn't be in Jerusalem and in Samaria at the same time. That's why he must needs go through Samaria. Fully man. Dealt with temptation. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted of the devil, but then it says that God cannot be tempted. So how is Jesus and God the same? Fully God, he was fully man. Just as a light ray acts as a particle and as a wave, but is fully a particle, and even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We could, science itself shows us, though we might not be able to understand everything about it, and the further they look, the further it goes. As fully God, he forgave sins, said, before Abraham was, I am. They looked at him and said, well, you're not even yet 50 years old. He said, yeah, I know, you're looking at the man. But you forget that inside this man dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So I can readily say, before Abraham was, I am. All things were made by him, the Bible says. Second, he was made in the womb of Mary. Yep. He was a man. But as God, he was the beginning. You're right, Brother Day. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now you see it? In him was light, and the light, particle and wave. Fully a particle and fully a wave. We can understand the Godhead by creation. Scriptures reveal that Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man, and science helps the invisible things of him be clearly seen. I'm closing. It's almost that 7:59 time. You can wake up. The eyes can unglaze. You can stand. It's fine. At least let you know we're getting close. Even his eternal power in God. See, we make it a lot more confusing than it needs to be. It's pretty simple. He was fully God and fully man. Only as God can he forgive sin. Matter of fact, in Mark, when he looked at the young man and said, "Thy sins be forgiven," man, they've gotten an uproar. Wait a second. Only God can forgive sins. Yeah, you're right. And he was fully God. And so he could say, "Thy sins be forgiven." They pick up stones and stone him. Jesus, "Why are you picking up stones and stone him?" "Well, because you, being a man, have made yourself God." And I wish there would be another verse in there where Jesus replied, "Yes." That's the only explanation needed. Yes. You, being a man, have made yourself God. Yes! I'm fully God and fully man. If he wasn't fully man, how then could he be exalted? "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given a name that is above every name, at the mention of his name, things in heaven and things under the earth, all bow at the mention of his name." How? Unless he was a man, could he then be exalted? You can't exalt an all-powerful God. He's already exalted. And so to try to explain and try to wrap their brain around this mighty God in Christ conundrum, we gotta somehow make a separation, and we gotta find some distinction, and we gotta say, well, there's one God manifest in three persons, and you have the Father and the Son and Ghost. Well, yeah, you do, but these three are one. You do. And you also have the rock that was Christ. And you also have the pillar of fire. And you also have all these other manifestations in the Bible. But the beautiful thing is that we don't have to look to all those manifestations. We can look at the one who was fully God and fully man. And now that rock is relatable. And now that rock we can understand is Christ. And he was tempted in all points like as are we, yet without sin. And now we can relate. Now there's not this disassociation with a God who has this voice that booms from heaven. Now the Son declares him. And we can understand the mighty God in Christ, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Oh, Jesus, we love you. I love your word. I love the teaching. I love to understand you. I love, Lord, the more I look like scientists, the more they look into science, the further it goes. The more I look into you, the further you go. The more revelation and understanding there is. And I can see, while intellectuals and other people would try to deny your existence, and they would try to use things to circumvent the teaching and objective truths of the Bible that we hold dear, God, we can use that same science and those same understandings to further reveal and explain even your eternal power in Godhead. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for your word. Let it continue to challenge us to know you more, to seek your face. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in Jesus' name.
wasn't very close when you had it down like this.